Tucker, the drive, gets inside, leans in, knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul, and a Pinnacle ball throws it down. And a foul. Giannis on the alley-oop. What a turnaround.
Gets into the pitcher, comes up with the strip. Turning the basketball over, and then off to the races.
Off to the races they went. That was Breen and Mark Jackson, those guys, right? That's who that was?
Yes, it was.
Man, they were so good.
Oh, they were so electric every time.
They broke it up. Van Gundy, Jackson, and Breen. It was a complete mistake. They never should have done that. But either way, Van Gundy went back to coaching and so forth, and away we went. They tried Doc, and then the Bucks hired Doc. That didn't work out well either. We won't get into that. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Steve Sparky Fiverr with you. Joining us now on the screen, if you're watching at WI Sports Radio on YouTube, Axe, Fan Milwaukee Facebook page, Instagram Live. There he is. Jim Ozarski joins us now. Follow him on Blue Sky, Bucks beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How are we doing today, Jim?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. That's a heck of a call.
Oh,
even
man.
5 years later, it's goosebumps, Sparky.
Goosebumps. Every time you hear it, they're just absolute goosebumps for sure. Okay, so you're doing a series of pieces leading up to, I think, through tomorrow. And I believe today was the day where they won this thing. And then we got to have a parade and all that fun stuff. After the
Remember
Bucks
that?
Won the championship. Yes. Barely. I'm getting older. Talk about the series, talk about the concept, the idea kind of behind it that you're doing for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, I mean, the easy part is the 5 years, right? It's an anniversary. It's the first of obviously many, 5, 10, 15. We like that sub in sports. But really, Sparky, it's kind of easy to forget that this was, I would argue, the least covered NBA champion in, I don't know, the modern era when, I mean, since the internet. I mean, look, the bubble was one thing, of course, but there were, 60-something games before then. From start to finish, Sparky, it's crazy to think, like, where the world was when this run started, right? In the pandemic still, testing, these guys weren't around each other. And so that was really the genesis of this. Like, we were on Zooms. I mean, we were doing this.
Yep.
All season long. I never met PJ Tucker until like the next year.
That's crazy.
We were not live until the Eastern Conference Finals. And even then there was limited media. While the world in Milwaukee opened, we know the parade, we were not open. We still had to be distanced and tested every day, as were the players up to a point. So yeah, that was the genesis of this, was to get to some untold stories that maybe other teams, champions, their fans got to live it in the moment, whereas Bucks fans had the release of Game 6 and the parade, but they never really got the coverage, or they never heard a lot from these guys, quite frankly, Sparky, that whole year.
When we talk about that team, and the characters on that team, the roles that all of these guys played, you know, and you're covering it and so forth. Is there a guy that maybe was more important to this team than fans maybe give him credit for not only on the court, but behind the scenes as kind of maybe being that guy? Like, if you go back to the famous year, our one run with Glenn Ray and Sam, you know, it was Scott Williams. He was the glue guy and so forth. And he gets suspended and all hell breaks loose and people get mad to this day over that. But he was kind of that glue guy behind the scenes. And after Scott Williams, then the next glue guy became like Irvin Johnson, was that next guy that kind of helped keep everything together. PJ Tucker gets a lot of credit for that. You know, is it deserved? Is there somebody else we should be talking about?
So there's two things, and it does tease tomorrow's story on PJ, and I felt it was appropriate to time it up with the parade.
Yeah.
Right? And PJ Tucker was a Milwaukee Buck for 125 days, Sparky. No one really saw him or heard from him. He missed over a third of the games he was even in Milwaukee for with an injury. We didn't see him until obviously the run. And what I will say, the reason why it is deserved, there was the Wee Dogs moment. We saw the game three, but it's sort of beyond that, Sparky. And Mike Budenholzer, Drew Holiday, the guys kind of talk about, you know, again, the speech is we dogs. And what tomorrow will show Sparky is how he actually helped them get that. Darvin Ham said, he's like, we weren't choir boys, but we needed that little extra edge on court, accountability, all of those things. And it went even up to Mike Budenholzer, Sparky. Like, I, you know, again, they started in a pandemic. And so the first part of the story was, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago when this run started, Mike Budenholzer said he remembers vividly having rearranging hotel furniture on a patio in the bay, drinking wine with PJ, right? And he admitted he was tough to coach. And those two didn't quite see eye to eye on things. But Bud kind of let PJ do what he had to do behind the scenes. And again, we fans, like, we could talk about it, but no one saw it, really. And so, thankfully, these guys, these coaches in particular, and some of his teammates will speak about it tomorrow, jsonline.com.
What about Drew Holiday and all of this? He obviously was the fan favorite, and I would think that even though he was more mild-mannered back in the day and really wasn't very vocal in the media or whatever else, he definitely felt like a key cog from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, and I will say, at least fortunately, unlike PJ, Drew was around at least for another couple of years, right, where fans really got to connect literally in the community with him and elsewhere. And I think, you know, that the Drew thing for me really stood out, Sparky, with the valley oop, the cut you just played, knocked away, stolen by Holiday, where he was not the primary defender on that play. He sagged off Chris Paul, right? PJ was, and Giannis kind of walled up Devin Booker, and Drew kind of made not just an instinctual read, but in that, if people go to the website and read this story, like, they practiced that play in particular, Sparky. And again, this goes back to even some bigger Mike Budenholzer questions about lack of adjustments and things he didn't do. Well, that was something, that was an adjustment they did make in the finals, was for Drew to be on Chris Paul. And to the point of Drew's impact, the heady play to make it, right? And then, honestly, the connection and the very quick decision-making to throw that lob to Giannis to effectively clinch the game. Not a lot of guys are making that throw, Sparky. You know that time and score, they're just not going to do it. They're going to pull it back, wait to get fouled, yep, one more time off. And here's Drew just doing that thing, right, to kind of end it to Giannis.
And if he doesn't throw that right and that ball goes out of bounds, people are losing their minds on Drew Holiday.
Exactly. And he still couldn't believe his teammates couldn't believe he threw that pass. His coaches, it was one of those like all-time yay, no, you know, yay moments that I've ever been a part of in person and even after the fact. And you're right, Drew's impact in that first year, Sparky, was pretty remarkable because, he brought a little bit of that edge. And then I think Mike Dunlap, an assistant, called PJ Tucker the Cajun spice on top of that.
Mike Dunlap, a very, very fun follow on X for quite some time. He is very funny. The other one, we got to talk about Bud, because we talked about this earlier as far as, you know, they won the year 5 years ago. What's the one thing you'll always remember? I'll never forget being on the radio, did my afternoon show back in the day with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler, threw that thing in Milwaukee, and then the TNT guys. And between them and us, like, everybody was like, Bud's going to get fired. Like, what is going on here? That Nets series, everybody wanted Bud fired by the time that Nets series was about over. And then they figure out a way to play. And they were getting mad at him for numerous reasons, whether it was schematical reasons, whether it was not playing Bobby Portis, whatever it was, everybody had reasons. Shaq, Barkley, Kenny Smith, everybody was going after Bud. And then you find out later that, yeah, they lose that Nets series. They were going to fire Bud. They were done with him too. And then, you know, you win and you get into contract extension and everything's okay at the end of the day. What do you remember about covering Bud during that playoff run?
It was pretty remarkable. I remember being in Barclays after game two and, you know, the reporting of, hey, this is, yeah, Bud's on the hot seat. Like, literally, if the Bucks lose, he's out. And to coach through that, look, he was aware of it. Mark Lazary yelled at him in that locker room, right?
I'm shocked by that.
And so, know, maybe we'll save some of that stuff for the 10-year Sparky, but it did happen, obviously. And
Lazary yelled at a lot, kinda, but Jim, Lazary yelled at a lot of people in the office, out of the office, like, that's the dude.
And here's, look, years later, when Bud was fired, that rigidity and stubbornness bit him, right? In this moment, in the championship run, in a pandemic, that rigidity and that routine was very helpful for this team. One of the stories was like his, he called them break breads. They weren't just team dinners. It was team events. Guys remembered him. Actually, the one routine he did break was he canceled the shoot around. Might've been before game 7 in Brooklyn. Cause he just basically, it was, no, y'all are ready like to win. Like, we don't need to do this. And so, but he would kind of do that regularly. And to the team, it was, he believes in us. We're going to keep doing what we do. We're good enough to win. Now, the one big change was PJ. Dante got hurt. Dante DiVincenzo hurt in the Miami series. Yep. And PJ was the call. And then there was some other little parts in the Atlanta series when Giannis gets hurt. There was some adjustments in the Phoenix series, particularly Sparky. Using PJ Tucker, sort of a battering ram on the offensive rebounds, after game 2, Pat Connaughton talks about this. It was having PJ basically just run and body Chris Paul on an offense. They were trying to hide Chris Paul on PJ, and it was, no, take 250 pounds and hit that man. And then on the other side, we're going to have Jrue Holiday pick him up 94 feet. And so, is it sexy? No. Is it a huge adjustment? Honestly, PJ or Sparky, it turned into one. So, yeah, Bud was in that run. His stick-to-itiveness with his routines and his systems, with some slight adjustments, led to a championship.
Talking to Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat writer. He's done an unbelievable job. Great series at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, chronicling and going back over that 2021 season. 5 years ago today, they win the championship. The night Giannis goes down, I remember doing the post-game show going, oh my God, like, if he's gone for all of next year too, and then his contract's up, like, this is going to be an ultimate disaster if he's out any type of time, because then all of the following season was going to be lost if he couldn't play. I don't care if they had Holiday and Middleton or not. Like, this was going to be really, really bad for the Bucks. Then when you find out, okay, well, it's not that, but he's still going to miss games, then even at that point, you're still like, well, can they even win without him at this point? But at least he'll be back for next year. Talk about, you know, that moment as you're covering the team, he goes down, and then the post-game stuff and what's going through your head during all of that.
Yeah, so we were on the opposite side of the baseline that he was injured on, kind of right above the Bucks bench. And, you know, we could hear Giannis yell, you know, which is, look, Atlanta was open at that point. The crowd was rocking. They were winning by a lot. And so that Sparky was, you know, look, I've covered the NFL for years. I've seen my fair share of, like, pretty horrific injuries. And that looked so bad. It sounded so bad. And then you see Giannis walk out at the end of the game to stand on the Bucks baseline. And you're just like, okay, well, that's insane. However, as someone who's torn an ACL several times, I know you can walk on that shortly thereafter. So obviously you're sort of waiting for the news, right? And, you know, the idea that he would be back at all, let alone 6 days later in a finals, was insane. So there's two things there. One was Chris Middleton, Sparky. If they invented the Larry Bird Trophy a year earlier, he's got that, right? To see him kind of carry a team to a final without the best guy was one thing. Then the next thing, this is actually one of the stories he shared that we didn't cover because we didn't know it, and honestly the Bucks were never going to talk about it. He had to go through a 45-minute workout before game 1, Sparky, right, before practice actually, to be cleared, and he laughs about it now, and him and Josh Oppenheimer really kind of get into this. There's some colorful language, and Mike Boonholzer was, believe it or not, Sparky, fantastic for this series. To what he had to do to be cleared to play. He actually said, Sparky, they might have won game 1 if he didn't have to work out so hard. He had two practices before game 1. And so It was a pretty remarkable his injury and comeback, and then the fact that Chris Middleton, you know, as all of his teammates said, kind of turned into Kobe or Michael, whatever generation you want to pull from, as that guy. And I'm going to dovetail it really quick today with today's anniversary. At the end of game 6, Chris Middleton effectively hit the game-winning shot a few minutes earlier. And Giannis, the play was for Giannis. And he said it's the only time in 5 years that Mike Budenholzer listened to him where Giannis told him no. Like, this play cannot be for me. It has to be for Chris Middleton. And I think, Sparky, that also showed their connection. As a 1-2 duo. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I got another one for you. Talk about the ownership role and their meddling or not meddling ways, I guess you could say, through that run, kind of, you know, leading up to that year, and how involved they really were. You talked about Lazary yelling and screaming or whatever else. But, you know, Bucks fans, you don't ever see Mark Lazary outside of sitting courtside or Wes Eating sitting courtside. You don't know how active or not active they are behind the scenes with players, coaches, and so forth. So tell us some about that.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier Bud's break breads and team gatherings and why that mattered this year and where ownership, this is a feather in their cap. Again, the world is in a pandemic. It's easy to forget this. They rented out University of Central Florida's football stadium for a team flag football game. They would rent out restaurants, like shut it down for the rest of the public. It's just the staff. Hotel rooms had, like, there were things that golf courses totally done. It's the Milwaukee Bucks day. That is not inexpensive. Even in a pandemic where maybe you're like, okay, these other places are searching for revenue. That's not Mark Lazary and Wes Edens, and they wrote it. It was a blank check for Mike Budenholzer to do the things that needed to be done to build a team through this, right? And look, the Jrue Holiday piece, it again, Spark, you mentioned this with the Giannis injury and the Supermax, right? That was the story coming out of the bubble.
Yep.
And they had to green light the John Horst trading of Bledsoe, George Hill. Let's say you almost forget that the Bucks were like on their way to what, 65 wins before the bubble? Like, that was a really good team. And they had to green light the trading of the draft picks going into the tax. They knew Jrue Holiday had a championship tax. They win a title. They're going into luxury tax for the first time in what would be a five-year run. So, yeah, there is the story with yelling at Bud and maybe those guys kind of wanting to wield influence. But I would say, again, Sparky, when a team wins a title, it is top-down. And Edens and Lazary do deserve credit for writing the checks literally in that championship year to let the team get it done on the court and, frankly, off the court.
There he is, Jim Ozarski. Read all of his great stuff there at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website, JS Online. Of course, you can follow Jim on Blue Sky. Tomorrow, big piece on P.J. Tucker. Is that the last one in the series?
It is. So, yeah, I definitely – JSOnline.com, we've got, you know, again, Giannis sat with me for 1 to 2 hours on this. I talked to pretty much everyone that I could and, you know, a lot of assistant coaches, just faces and names either fans never heard from. And that was the point of this, Sparky. Again, we just weren't allowed to be around. A lot of these people never talked about this stuff. And so, yeah, there's definitely, especially a lot from Giannis in particular, about the injury, this favorite moment of his from game 6 that had nothing to do with 50 points. And some of his own words, Sparky, we all remember the iconic sort of images of him crying on the bench. He talked about what was running through his mind as we all watched that in silence. So definitely it's worth a Bucks fan's view to go back and kind of look at all those stories.
That's good stuff. Jim Ozarski, thank you so much for coming on, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.